Welcome to Afros in the Diaspora. My name is Sarah. I am your host, and together we will vent, rant, laugh, and cry as we discuss the highs and lows of being an immigrant. Stay tuned for stories that will inspire, inform, entertain, and give hope. This is Afros in the Diaspora. Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora, and today we have Kay the Chosen, who is an incredible musical artist based here in Calgary, Alberta. Kay, welcome.
Hey, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Big fan.
Of course. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're ready.
I'm feeling good. Feeling great. Like I've listened to some of the conversations you've had in the past, and it's been like very interesting to hear different people's perspectives. So I'm very excited to share mine.
Yes, amazing. Okay, so since you listen to the podcast, you know what comes next, right?
Unfortunately, I do. Yes, I do.
So, Kay, you are from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
So we'll be asking you some questions about Zimbabwe, okay?
For sure.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. So you know what? Let's start with easy things, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. Yes, please.
Describe the national flag of Zimbabwe.
Oh, yes. This is a good one. Okay, perfect. Because yes. Fun fact, as a kid, I used to draw flags. This is a fun thing I like to do. So okay. I actually know a lot of countries' flags and obviously my own. So if we're starting from the left, going to the right, I guess, you've got this giant triangle that kind of like points. I don't know how to explain the triangle, but there's a triangle. Mm-hmm. And within the triangle, it's a white triangle. And within that triangle is a star. It's a red star. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I used to think it was an eagle. Apparently, mm-hmm. it's a chicken. So there's a bird on the inside, and it's a chicken.
It's a chicken?
I could be incorrect, because I'm pretty sure our national bird is the eagle. But I'm pretty sure that bird is a chicken. So there's a bird in there. So that just represents our natural bird. And then we've got stripes after the triangle. So the middle one is black. I think we go yellow, red, green. I might have switched red and green. But you red and yellow. But And each of those represent, so the green is agriculture. Yellow is like mineral wealth. And then red is like the bloodshed during the liberation war. So that's our flag. I don't know. I think we have one of the coolest flags.
That is pretty cool and very detailed, actually. Thank you. Yeah, no, initially you mixed up the yellow and the red, but you kind of corrected it when you were talking about what they mean. So
sweet. Yeah. As I was trying to visualize, I was like, no, I think it's the other way around. But
yeah, it is. Well done. Yes. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And it's such an interesting hobby as a kid to just draw flags.
I don't even know where it came from. It's just, I think because I used to watch a lot of like cartoons that were like international. So you'd have like international football. So you'd have all these different characters. Like there'd be a Japanese dude and like a guy from Congo and whatnot. And they'd always be like represented on flags. Like, oh, that's cool. I want to see what each flag looks like. So I'd usually like spend the afternoon going through countries and drawing their flags and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice exercise.
Yeah. It's good.
Okay. Next question. Before Zimbabwe, you know, officially became a republic and was called Zimbabwe, what was the former name of Zimbabwe?
Okay, another good one. So Zimbabwe used to be known as Southern Rhodesia. The reason it was Southern was because our neighbors Zambia were essentially Northern Rhodesia. Yeah. So the two countries are kind of split, and that was named after Cecil John Rhodes. Colonizer.
Good answer. Like, you got it 100%. Okay, next question. Look at you acing this, by the way.
I'm getting scared. I'm like, my luck might be running out.
No, you're good. All right, so Zimbabwe has 16 official languages. What are the three most common languages of the 16?
Okay, perfect. I was like, if you're asking all 16, I'm like, no. that's a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah.
That would be English, Shona, and Ndebele.
Hey, clap for yourself.
Thank you.
Good job. All right, yeah. let me see if I can turn up the heat a little bit.
Oh no, I'm scared.
No, don't be scared. You're good. Zimbabwe is a landlocked country. That means that it's surrounded by other like countries, lands on all sides, on all borders. Mm-hmm. What are the countries that surround Zimbabwe?
Lovely. Fantastic. You're taking me back to like grade five, grade six.
I know.
We're learning simple geography.
Simple stuff.
It's fun because like all our neighbors are pretty cool. So we've got South Africa to the south of us. Mm-hmm. And then above us, like I mentioned before, we've got Zambia. Yeah. And then I guess you'd say to the east of us, this is one I always get confused. I'm like, I believe it's Mozambique, but I also feel like Malawi is also kind of there, but I'm going to say Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And then to our west is Botswana.
All right. Okay. Look at you. You went on Wikipedia for this. You went to Google. How do they spell Zimbabwe again? I know your steez. You went to go and do research. Okay. All right. So in what city is the ancient ruins of Great Zimbabwe found?
That would be in Mashingo.
Mashingo. How do you spell Mashingo?
Oh, now you're trying to trip me up. Okay, so that's Masvingo.
Mashingo. Hey, clap for yourself. Good job. You haven't even lost one so far.
So
that is good. Enough,
that's kind of where the chicken bird comes from, because that was on the top of the monuments. So that's kind of how that ended up on our flag.
Honestly, according to the research that I did, I think it said it's like an African eagle something.
Oh, so it is an eagle. Okay, I remember someone telling me, I was like, our national animal is the eagle, but someone told me the bird on our flag is a chicken.
It doesn't even look like a chicken on the flag. Like, right? Tell that person, not true.
Not true.
Not true. It's according to, you know, my quick Google search, of course, I'm sure there are like, you know, more reliable materials that can validate this, but according to what I saw, it's just based it's inspired from the ruins, the great ruins.
Exactly.
The bird is an African eagle, I think mostly found in Zimbabwe or something like that, and that's why it was there. Okay.
See?
All right, you're doing too well at this. Like, I'm like, my questions aren't hard enough, but it's fine. I love that you're doing great. Okay.
Thank you.
One of the largest waterfalls in the world is found in Zimbabwe, and it lies on the Zambezi River. Yes. What is the name of this waterfall?
This is Victoria Falls.
Hey! Hey!
One of the seven wonders of the natural world.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because I saw a video, you know how they like do the drone shots?
Beautiful, yes, man. It's so beautiful. Absolutely so beautiful.
I want to go there. I don't know how to swim, but I want to go.
Well, don't go in the falls. Just go and see them.
Just go see it. Don't
jump in. Although people do bungee jump. And I'm like, not for me. Not for me. Not for me. Because the name... That so there's a Maori name for Victoria Falls, because obviously that was after Queen Victoria colonizes all that.
Of course, it's
Moso Tunya, which means the smoke that thunders, and that just refers right. We come up with some great names in Zim, right?
Awesome! Like, that's the beauty of those traditional names, man.
It's
like,
they just have,
they're more inspired, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Continue.
Yes. Yeah, so that just refers to obviously, like, because you've got such a high volume of water falling, like just the rumbling sound. Mm-hmm. And then also the smoke, just like this mist that comes up. So it's like, it's a very mystical place. It's actually the last, trip I took before I left Zim to come to Canada. We're like, okay, let's all go to Victoria Falls. We're going to hang out there. And then, you know, that's like my last memory of Zim, like before I went back home, like for holidays and whatnot. But it's a beautiful space. A lot of celebrities there. So like Pamela Anderson, Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, when they come to Zim, they all kind of hide in that area. And they love it. They love it. It's a great tourist spot.
Oh no, it's so gorgeous. It's beautiful. I've said before, I want to tour Africa as a tourist. I'm from there. Yes. But I want to be a tourist. I want to just go and be like, wow. Yeah. You know, like, because it's beautiful. Like, beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Like, there's so many incredible spots, the food, the culture, the language, the dance, the music, the everything. You know, I just want to just come and experience it and just be like, oh, I love that I'm from here. You know?
Well, when you ding Southern Africa, let us know. We'll host you in Zim.
You know what? Yes, I'll hold you to that.
Hold me to that, please. You've got all your witnesses on the podcast. Okay, the show has invited you over.
Okay, say less. That's awesome. Okay, we're going to end this one with what is the name of the current president of Zimbabwe?
Okay, so you think this would be the easy one? So you just want like his last name or his full name?
Just the name. Just the name of your president, man. Like,
why are you scared? Okay, so that would be President Mnangagwa.
Okay, wonderful. That is correct. But what is his first name too?
So I know we referred to him as ED. ED Mnangagwa. I'm gonna be honest, I don't even know what the ED stands for.
Doesn't generally have like a great meaning. So, especially on a man.
It's funny because with our presidents, well, we had like the same president for a very long time. So, you know, there's this weird thing where like you don't just refer to him by first name, you kind of say his full name. So the last president was President Robert Mugabe, but you have to say like his full name. So it's His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, President Gabriel Mugabe. So it's
with his middle name, you have to put His Excellency,
His Royal Excellency, Highness, Commander-in-Chief, everything.
You have to put it in the, wow.
Yeah. So when presidents change, I was like, okay, President Mnangagwa, cool. I'll leave it at that.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's Emmanuel Edson. I don't know what the D stands for, but like, yeah, ED is, so usually people go like ED or ED Mnangagwa, but I know it's definitely President Mnangagwa.
Well, according to the internet, it's Emerson, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That does actually sound familiar. Yeah.
You're like, actually, that is a...
So it's Emerson Namudziko Mnangagwa, right? That's where the D comes from?
I don't know what the D comes from. I don't know what the D is. You're going to have to tell me. Okay. You could have said anything. I would have said like, probably.
Fair.
Yeah.
You said, I think I'll take a 99%. I did all right.
You did great, man. You did good. I'll clap for you. That was really, really good. You know your country very well. That's awesome. All right. Thank you for just engaging with me in that.
that was fun.
Trivia to just loosen up the muscles, you know?
Oh, yeah. Feels good.
Feel good? You feel loose now?
I feel loose, but also just like... You took me down memory lane of like all my social study and geography classes. I'm like, you know what? Our country's actually pretty cool. So
yeah, it is pretty cool. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's so beautiful. All right. Well, clearly you aced those classes. You aced these. But thank you again for engaging with me in that. And let's talk about your story.
For sure.
If you could just talk a little bit, tell us your immigration story of how you moved here, and you know how you moved here, when you moved here, what settling you know in Canada and the abroad was like for you.
For sure. Yeah. So I think as has been established, I am from Zimbabwe. Yeah. I've lived there majority of my life, which is interesting to say because I've been in Canada for 8 years. So now I've lived my adult life in Canada.
Right.
But essentially, I left Zimbabwe in 2015. I came here to study business at the University of Calgary. I picked Canada because, you know, I was doing my research to be like, okay, how do you pick a university? You know, what's the difference between one country to the other? And they kept saying that it's all about, you know, what is your investment in that country post-graduating? Because a lot of times you can go to a country, you graduate, then they're like, okay, cool, you have your degree, now leave. You know, and it's like, you're spending a lot of money
after
to travel.
All this money, right? I've spent thousands and thousands of euro, and you're telling me I can't even choose to stay? Like, I've paid taxes in this country.
Right.
International student fees are crazy.
They 3x what local students pay. Minimum.
Oh my gosh. And now you're telling me I have to leave. I don't even have a choice to like say, to consider it. There's no consideration. Right. It's like, bye.
Bye. See ya.
Not nice. Yeah.
Not nice at all. So yeah. When I looked into that, a lot of countries or a lot of the websites were saying, look, Canada, the immigration policy is actually pretty good because they let students work during school. So the whole co-op situation or the 20 hours of work. And then they also messaged like once you graduate, you know, you get like a post-work work permit, right? So you can then stay for a little bit more. So it's like, you know, that means the most sense because at least it means once I'm done, I can continue working, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So landed on Calgary, came here to study business. I've always had a passion for music. So I knew that I wanted to go into music, but I don't play any instruments. So I studied business knowing that, you know, music itself is a business. I'll eventually end up back where I want to be. So arrived, started studying, but I used to go to a lot of open mics and freestyle and whatnot. And then slowly, K the Chosen started growing at the same time that I was in school. So obviously, like, that had its own restrictions because I was in school, I was rapping, and I was also working. So the rap side was kind of like in the back burner while I was doing everything else, just kind of like finish my studies. But as soon as I graduated, I was like, cool. You know, I've got a bit more flexibility. I've got a bit more of a stable job that gives me a little bit more money I can put back into music. And since then, I've been working really hard to just like grow myself as a community leader, grow myself as an artist. And that's been, I guess, 8 years in the making since now we're in 2024. So that's almost 9 years, actually. It's 9 years in September. I think I came in September. And now, yeah, I'm a hip hop artist. I do a lot of shows. I host shows. I'm part of a lot of really cool organizations. So it's been a very beautiful journey, which I summarize in a song called 263-403, with 263 being the area code for Zimbabwe, 403 being like the old cell phone code for Calgary. And just talking about that immigrant journey, you know, it's been quite the adventure.
Quite the venture. Thank you so much, Kay, for sharing that. Like, I also moved here in 2015.
Nice.
And like, when people count the years, and it's like, it's been almost 9 years. I'm like,
what?
Like, because it doesn't feel like 9 years, but it does at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? And it just, it's a long time and a lot has happened, you know?
Right?
Like, you're the same person, but you're not really the same person you moved here as, you know?
Of course. You've grown.
So, yes. Like, that, so when people always, when people ask, oh, so how long have you been here? I'm like,
right. It's been a while.
I guess a while? It's I also moved here for university, and so like I understand the grind of like trying to work while you're studying and
while trying to do your creative pursuits. It's crazy.
And I studied theater, right? So like, you know, it's embedded in it. And I didn't even have to, like, I'm no rapper, like I suck at you know, at that, but I've heard you perform before and like absolutely incredible your work. Like, I've also listened to some of it, like, you know, and you know, shout out to you for what you're doing and to see that like you kind of had a plan. So it wasn't like it wasn't a knee jerk
reaction.
Jerk knee.
Jerk knee. Sounds like a spice. I'm gonna add some jerk knee to my food.
It sounds like a chicken or like jerk chicken knee or something. Anyway. but like you, it was, you kind of calculated it. You're like, okay, music is a business. I'll eventually get there. And you're studying business while getting into the business. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. That's really smart. Actually.
I try.
Yeah. So would you mind talking about, real quick, two big culture shocks you experienced here, minus the weather, because we know the weather is going to be the weather. So what are like two culture shocks that you experienced that you're like, you know what? I was not prepared for this.
Nice. Okay. So minus the weather, which is pretty smart to say because minus, you know, old.
Look at you.
My rapper brain has been engaged.
Yeah.
So weirdly enough, the first culture shock for me was, I guess, the concept of like modern colonialism, in that I remember arriving and like, I'm a very adventurous person. I'm like, you know what? I wasn't going to take a taxi from the airport. I'm like, I'm going to take the train. I want to see everything. And what I was seeing as we went through downtown or just even on the train were that the people who seemed to be in the worst situations, so whether they're experiencing being unhoused or any kind of addiction, I was like, they all seem to be indigenous, which is weird to me, because if this is their country, why are like the owners of the land the ones who are suffering the most? You know, and that's when I started to learn more about like just Canada's colonial history. And I was like, oh, that's actually kind of messed up. So yes, that was a cultural shock, because, you know, you get so excited to come to this country because you're like, oh, it's a modern country. It's like, you know, they're so advanced. But also you hear a lot about, you know, Canadians are so friendly. They're so about the people. You know, it's a diverse space. And then you're like, wait, but this is not connecting, because how are you a diverse space, but you're not respecting the people who are originally here? So that honestly blew my mind. Especially because depending on who you meet when you first arrive, they've got different things to say about Indigenous people, right? And, you know, not everything they say is true, not everything they say is right. So it's a weird feeling when you're new and you're like, am I contributing to the program by being here? You know, because obviously you're bringing your tourist dollars, your education dollars, which, you know, are not going to Indigenous folks. But also it's like, well, am I also part of the problem because I didn't know this before I came? Maybe I should have researched this and figured out blah, blah, blah. So that's been like something I've been working on, trying to figure out, okay, is how do we do our part? How do we respect those who are here already? Without also discounting the experiences of other Canadians. And I say other in terms of, you know, when you come here and you end up staying and like making it your home, you also consider yourself Canadian, and that means different things for different people. So even for me, I'm like, what does that mean to me? Like, if I say I'm African Canadian, that's why I don't say I'm African Canadian, because I'm just like, no, I'm from Zimbabwe. That's where I'm from. you know, but just kind of wrapping my mind around that is something I'm still always processing. So that was the first culture shock. The second one was poutine. I was like, why do you guys put gravy on your fries? What is this? What is this nonsense?
Gravy and cheese.
Gravy and cheese. I was like, cheese, first of all, on fries. Then you're putting it. And bear in mind, I'm having to call them fries because back home we call these chips. So I'm like, now you're telling me to change the word. Now you're putting gravy on top. There's a lot of things happening all
it's
at once.
It's too much.
And the first time I had poutine, it was very like cafeteria poutine where there was no love put into it. There was no creativity.
There was no love put into it.
There was no love put into it. They're just like, you know? They just
this is what you get for
top.
$6.
So I was not impressed. I didn't like poutine. I didn't understand the hype. And then also there's different pronunciations. Some people call it poutine, which I think is the French pronunciation. I don't know.
Isn't
so now
that
I'm
the
like,
guy that's like the president of Russia?
This is also what I was thinking. I'm like,
isn't that Putin?
You see where I was getting confused? I'm like, you guys are giving me so much information for food that doesn't even taste good. You know, if this was good, then I can justify it. But I will say, then I had it with like bacon bits and jalapenos. And I was like, now we're talking.
Okay,
you just need to add spice. That's all we
needed.
We needed it.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't eat it a lot. But if you get like a specialty kind of poutine, however you want to say it, it's actually pretty enjoyable. So that's kind of something. It took a while.
For me, when I first moved here, and I'll address the first one you talked about too, but since we're on poutine, and I guess the French people also say it differently, poutine. Like there's a, it just, it has different lives, I guess. But I remember when I moved here, like in my mind, every culture has a food. Every country has a food.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I was talking to like my supervisor, like, what is the Canadian food that I can try? And he's like, Canadian food. Like, I don't know. I'm like, you know that's how in Nigeria there's jollof rice, there's this, there's fufu, you know.
There's suya.
And he's like,
you know,
there's suya, you know, all that stuff. And he's like, yeah, I guess poutine, like... He was saying that poutine originated in Canada. Poutine and was he saying maple? I don't remember, but it was just like a couple of like very random things that are like, I'm like, what is poutine? And then I tasted it and I did not love it. Like, I think the only time I tasted it that I really liked it was the fries were like spicy fries, or like they did something to the fries, so it wasn't just regular fries. You just have to season it. For me personally, you have to season it. Like I can't eat like just salt and black you know, the pepper that you ground like this.
Yeah,
like
that, yeah.
That's not it for me. That's not flavor. All the spice. We need flavor in there. but yeah, no. And he's like, yeah, but poutine, I guess. I'm like, that's it. And he's like, yeah, no, there's Thai food, there's Chinese food. I'm like, no, Canadian food.
What's here? Yeah.
He's like, no, you know, it's very multicultural. So like people bring all their foods from different places. So I don't think Canada has its own food except for maybe poutine and maybe like fries. I get like, I just was so unsatisfied with the response of that, with the options. I'm like, okay, fine. Because I'm like, I just got here. I want to try it. And then I was very disappointed the first time I tried it as well. Because it's just a lot of textures and like flavors in the mouth that don't, depending on who makes it. Again, it was in the cafeteria. So there was no joy in there. It just was like, this is what you get for your $4. Take it and buy.
Take
you know?
And go.
Take it and leave here. before the fries get soggy.
Exactly. Right. And that's the biggest thing for me. I'm like, I don't like soggy fries.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah, no, when I first moved here, I did not even know about the indigenous people because it's just not something that I don't even think it's on the Canadian website, like Canada website. Like you know, you watch movies and stuff about the abroad, like, oh, the US, the Canada, North America. Yeah. You hardly ever, and maybe nowadays, like more recently.
Things have changed since then.
Things are changing more. But in 2015, when I was moving here, I did not know. I just was like, oh, this is a country of white people. Okay, I guess.
Right?
Like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't even know that these were indigenous people. I just knew that they looked different.
Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily white, but they, like you said, were always in a situation where they were either on the streets, homeless or drinking or, you know, one thing or the other. I was on a train once and this lady came on. She was indigenous and she was shaking. And I just was like, oh, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And I just kind of like stayed to myself because she kind of brushed it off. And I just like, okay.
Yeah.
And then when she stepped off, another white guy that saw me ask her if she was okay said, that's what happens when you're on the, how did he say? He alluded to, that's what happens when you're on drugs and you don't get your fix. So I'm like,
and you see, like, the narrative that's now being driven is that it's a them problem. This is what they're all like, exactly. Right? And then if you're new, that's what you start to think. Like, oh.
That's what you start to think.
Right?
I had to literally Google. Like, I got home one day and I was asking my brother, like, have you seen these folks on the train? Like, I came across this person on the train this day. And it's like, oh, yeah, those are, like, the indigenous people. I'm like, the who? Who are they? Like, what are... And then I Googled it myself and looked into that and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Right? But then you also get the history to be like, why are there so many people who are traumatized? What is the history?
And it's so intergenerational. You
know? Yeah.
Like, imagine your kids being snatched away from you, man, to be abused in a camp. Disgusting. Like, those kids are not going to end up well. And that lineage is a mess now, except someone chooses to break the cycle. Because if you only know abuse, you can only pass that down.
Yeah.
If you only know dysfunction, you can only pass that down. And so it has just continued. And, you know, now people are choosing to make the change. And there are, you know, programs and stuff for Indigenous people. But, you know, like, you're completely right. They own the land, but they're not being seen as equal owners, as owners of the land.
As owners, not even equal owners. They are the owners.
They are the owners.
We the neighbor.
We are visitors.
We're the visitors. Like,
we're all visitors. Like the white folks, the Indians. We're
all of us.
You know. Yeah. And so, massive shout out to them. And my heart just always goes out for them at all times. Yeah. But another. You said like Canada being friendly. I went on a train once.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had this weird stain on my head or my cheek or something. And I rode that train from the university to my house.
Yeah.
I walked to the train. There were people at the train station. Got into the train. There were people on the train.
Yeah.
Got off that train, walked home. I met people on the road as I was going home. Yeah. I got home, went in the mirror, and there was a big ass freaking stain on my face. And I was so irritated. I'm like, this could never happen in Nigeria, first of all. Before you leave the building, someone's like, are you not seeing this in your face? And then you can quickly wipe it off. But that's one thing I really miss about back home. And it's a weird thing to have as a culture shock. But Canada is friendly. But what do you mean by Canada is friendly if I have such a big, ugly, embarrassing stain on my face and you will not tell me to wipe it off? So I will not be further embarrassed. They're like, oh, no, we just don't want to embarrass you. Just don't want to. It's more embarrassing. It's more embarrassing if somebody could have stopped this 5 seconds in, but then I had to get on a train for 45 minutes and get to my house. Like, it makes no sense. That thing drives me crazy. And every time I see that with someone else, I just very politely, I'm like, hey, if I could just, you know, just quickly get them right. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And like, they're so appreciative because now you're not going to walk on the road looking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sorry, that was a bit of a rant, but...
No, I completely agree. I think, like, the correct word, because we always say friendly, I think it's more like Canadians are polite.
Polite, and I think polite.
Politeness can be contradictory, because I think that's what that's what they mean, right? When they're like, oh, I didn't want to embarrass you. The polite thing to do is just, like, step back and let you do your thing. But the friendly thing to do would be like, yo, I just want to make sure that you don't get embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Because being polite means you actually don't step in. And I think it's unfortunately, I don't want to get too deep into this, but I do feel like, to a certain extent, Canada has, like, an identity crisis, because we are so polite that we don't really take a stance on anything. You kind of, like, step back and kind of let things happen, and then sometimes you're in, sometimes you're not. So it kind of makes it hard to be like, oh, like, and it's not like a neutral stance. I think a neutral is a stance. When you say, I will not be involved, is a stance. I will not be part of this. But polite is like, oh, sorry, you're having a bad day. Okay, I'll come and help you if you ask me. Oh, Tabo, you're also having a bad day. Okay, you're also having a bad day. Okay, I'll come in and help you. And it's like, okay, but if, let's say, the two of us, oh, I'm doing myself into, I don't want to go down this route. But if the two of us were fighting, now it's like, okay, who of us are you going to fight? You're like, oh...
Let me see how it goes.
Yes.
Let me see how it goes first. I'll make my choice in 2 days.
And I feel like that happens a lot. And I think that might have been what happened, where people probably would have wanted to help you. They were like almost feeling embarrassed to tell you. But I'm like, but it's better that you embarrass the person, like you said, for 5 seconds, as opposed to letting them go out through the whole day and experience this whole thing. And it's like,
and then your story in someone else's day, guess what I saw today? I saw this lady, she had this weird mark on her face. Didn't she know she had this mark on her face? And like,
Did you tell her?
What do you mean? She obviously didn't know. Like, this is anyway, we have ranted enough. Let's talk
moving
more.
On,
let's
moving
talk.
On, moving,
moving
on.
On, moving on, moving on. Let's talk about your you've kind of hinted a little bit about how you got into music and how you started that path. Would you mind talking a little bit more about some of your work that has been released up to date and like what practicing as a rapper in Canada, you know, so far, what has that looked like? What has that journey been like for you?
It's been an interesting journey. So like I mentioned, I've got the song 263-403. It was one of like the first songs that I put out, mainly because, again, like when I write music, I like to call myself the friendly neighborhood rapper. So big fan of Spider-Man and superheroes and how I can try to save the world. But also just the idea that like we've got like two separate personalities, right? You've got your Spider-Man who's like out in the world kind of like saving the day. Then you've got Peter Parker, who's just an ordinary guy, you know, trying to get to school, trying to date a girl, you know, but, you know, unable to balance everything because he also has his responsibilities as Spider-Man. And I feel like it's the similar thing for artists because we tend to have a day job. You know, there's so many things to balance in your life, but then, you know, being an artist is a full-time job in itself. You know, there's so many people that you're saving and helping with your music because you're spreading a message and sharing. You're almost making like conversations more accessible, which is what I try to do. You know, I talk about the immigrant experience. I talk about my experience. And it allows people to kind of be like, oh, okay, yeah, you're from 263 to 403. Your journey from Calgary to here. You know, my journey was like ABC. You know, then we're having a conversation. It's easy. Like it's great. But it also sometimes can be I don't want to say isolating, but like, you kind of end up being put into certain boxes, I think, especially as a Black artist, where now it's like, okay, now you have to be politically charged all the time. You have to always talk about Black issues. You have to talk about, you know, ABC, right? And there's times when you want to do that, and when you want to do that, that's great, because I think mm-hmm. intention in your work is so important, because if yeah. you're pretending to be something you're not, it comes through in the music, it comes through in the art.
Can tell.
People yeah. can tell, you know? Yeah. But also as a human being, you experience so many different things in a day, in a year, in your lifetime. There's sometimes moments where you want to talk about something else. You know, you mm-hmm. don't want to talk about, you know, whatever everything everyone else wants to talk about, especially because usually if they want you to talk about a Black issue, it's an mm-hmm. issue that you deal with every day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, so you want me to experience this and then re-traumatize myself yeah. by talking about it and then perform it again. And then you want to have a conversation with me after about it as well. It's like, mm-hmm. you know what? Today is not me. Like, let it be someone else. Someone else who mm-hmm. wants to take this talking stick for the day and be the representative. Because there's other things I want to talk about too. You know, I'm passionate about, you know, relationships, you know, how people relate with each other. You know, I'm passionate about, you know, kind of like bringing awareness to, you know, domestic abuse and just like talking about family matters, those kind of things, you know. And, you know, if you always pigeonholing me into the same conversations, I can't talk about other things. I want to talk about mental health and all that. And to be honest, they're all connected. So, you know, you're still getting that conversation, but let me do it in my way. So I think in the last couple of years, I've been learning to kind of stand up for myself and like say no to certain gigs when I can tell what they want me for or how they want me to spin a certain narrative. You know, you learn a lot about how also institutions move in the way that like, they're like, oh yeah, 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 you know, we want you to come and do this thing in February. And then the rest of the year, they don't call you. It's like, okay.
Black History Month.
It's like, we're only available.
The rest of the year, you are history until yeah. the next Friday, until the next February.
Literally. I love that. That's hilarious. Yeah. Your history. So it's important to navigate, because I think, you know, you're also teaching other artists how to, you know, represent and protect themselves, because you don't want to end up being tokenized. You know, you want to be appreciated for your unique identity, but not just like acknowledged. You want to be celebrated for it. You know, it shouldn't mm-hmm. be like, oh, you're a Black artist opening in a Black space. It should be, you know, you're a talented artist. And because you happen to be Black or African or whatever, however you want to define yourself, we would love if you could share that with us. You know, if you'd like to, if it's not relevant to the art you're doing, then okay, we understand. We'll take a step back. Mm-hmm. But knowing that choice is actually in your hands as an artist, I think is super important to know. So yeah, throughout the years, I've bounced between different kinds of stories. You know, I've bounced between mm-hmm. talking about my relationship with my family, my relationship with home, the, you know, kind of like that diasporan experience of leaving home, seeing home from afar, but also trying to work here so that you can help home. But, you know, it's like a weird, you feel like a guilt. So what a song called Survivor's Guilt, where you're kind of like, You know that home is not great, so you've come here to do better, but it's hard to then complain when you're like in a better space. But even though you've got your own situations you're going through here, you know.
That was quite a bit. And you've talked about a lot of things. Mm. I think with that thing of being tokenized, I heard someone, because I'm also an artist, for yeah. those that don't know, I probably said it a billion times already on this podcast, but...
But keep telling them.
But yeah, so I mean, yes, heck yeah. But I heard it said in a particular way where like you are being tokenized, and sometimes, and for people that don't know, it's when you're being hired, not necessarily for your skill, but because they need a Black person in the room to be able to, I don't know, claim diversity or whatever their reasons.
Fill a quota, whatever.
Yeah, fill a quota. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this person was saying, well, unfortunately, that may be the world that we live in. But when you step into those rooms, use that opportunity to show that you're not just this random Black person that was brought off the street. Like, you're skilled, you're creative, you're talented, you deserve to be there. Mm. And make them see why they should invite you back, and even others that are like you, others from your community, other minorities. But give them a reason to say, because I mean, at the end of the day, if they hire you and they have a bad experience with you, then it's like, see, this is why we don't, this is why we don't deal with those people, you know? And then it becomes this whole like, what's it called? Self-fulfilling prophecy. Where it's like, oh, see, that one time we brought one of them here. Yeah. Oh, it was so, you know, and they're like, that one time. Oh my gosh. You know? And you know, it just continues that cycle. And so this person was saying that, yes, unfortunately, sometimes we will be tokenized. Like, you'll be the only Black person in the room, and they're not necessarily wanting you in the room for what you can bring to the table. They just more so want you to kind of be like an ornamental lamp on the desk, you know, just something to feature in the room without really welcoming or creating space for your own contributions. And, you know, that's unfortunate. But stepping into those rooms regardless and just being like, I'm going to bring all my brilliance here. And I'm going to leave this table knowing that even though I was brought for whatever the reasons where I killed it, you know, and my, you know, and sometimes like it's hard to even in those rooms because you're not expected to speak up and you're not expected to make any useful or meaningful contributions. And sometimes you may be overlooked or talked over or whatever the case may be, which are all horrendous things that do happen in reality. But when you're in that space, take the chance to, like use it. Use it and use it the best way possible. So if they're saying, Kay the Chosen, we need you to come perform 263 to 403, right? We need you to come perform this at this festival. How about you perform three other songs before you get to that one?
You know? There you go. You know? Exactly. Exactly.
excuse me. Use the stage to talk about this issues you've talked about, relationships, family, relationships, you know, domestic violence, love, all these things. Use the stage and just be like, hey, I'm here, you know, and you're going to get this. Like, you're going to get the message. You're going to get the whole of me as an artist and not just this Black pigeon in a hole. Like, you know what I mean? Just this, this fitting into your little square. No, I'm going to bring all of me into space. And so that's what that's an example of what that person was trying to say, which I've held on to that since then, because it's like, okay, it's powerful. Right? If this is the world that we live in, then you got to find a way to be. You know, and that has stuck with me. And so in a lot of cases, and, you know, sometimes you have to fight for it a little bit, you know, whether it's in the negotiations beforehand, it's like, I know you want me for this song, but I'm performing three others, or you're not getting me at all. You know, you know, because, and then you can start have those conversations early enough. But, you know, you saying that kind of like made me think, because it's true, like you start, you're a Black artist, and you're like, oh, Black History Month, let's get them all out. Yeah, where you at? Caw-caw, caw-caw. Like, they put the call out. They're like, hey, they're paying gigs back to back. You have back to back. You have multiple shows in a day, in a weekend. You're balling. Exhausting. You're making good money. And it is exhausting. Yeah. It is exhausting, but it's great. It's beautiful. The problem with that is that even though these opportunities, these shows, they're still events for the rest of the year, but where are you guys? The now you're the one doing the caca. You're the one calling out. You're like, hey, I'm still here. I still make music, you know? which is really unfortunate. And I find that, like, in everyone, like, whether it's musicians, poets, like, you know, dancers, you know, it just any all kind across of the board, all across the board. It's at that time that Black plays are being played, put on. It's at that time that Black movies are being shown. Like, it's this whole thing. And the rest of the year, they forget. They forget about the minorities. They forget about the Black people. And, you know, Black people are not the only minorities in Canada and in North America. There's a ton. There's Filipinos, Indian folks. They're Middle Eastern folks, they're like from, you know, across the board. And they all have their own months, I think. But it's just the same thing. Like, at the end of the month, for them as well. They're like, forgot about them completely, you know? And that sucks. That's unfortunate. But yeah, I think I'm not sure of the way forward. I feel like at this point we need to start calling organizations out for that, to be honest. Because like there just has to be a better way to do things. Like,
Together too. I feel like that cross, because we all experience that same kind of, experience, for the lack of a better word, you know, I think it's easier for us to support each other in that sense. So like, you know, even if like in 1 month each of us gets like that month of focus, it's supporting each other. So it's like, okay, now you know that there's a whole bunch of Black History Month events going on. People from other cultures should feel welcomed and invited to come and experience that, because then we all learn so much about each other's cultures, and it's easier to like integrate, but actually like collaborate is the word I'm looking for. Because going back to our conversation about, you know, the indigenous people, like, I think a lot of times too, because that's the only conversation we have, we forget that, but there are so many talented indigenous people. Like, if you go to indigenous markets, the beadwork, the dancing, the artwork, it's like, you remember how you're saying, like, when you go to a different country, there's the food, there's the culture, there's whatever. Why don't we go and appreciate each other's cultures, you know? And that's how we will continue to highlight each other throughout the year, regardless of what month it is. So I love volunteering at Indigenous markets, because I'm like, I have no idea what any of this is. So you learn more that way. Like, obviously during Black History Month, I should be volunteering for Black History events. But I'm like, but I'm Black. I know about this. Let me go and bring someone else to learn. And also maybe go and like experience something different. So a lot of times people are like, okay, you know, you've got to go and learn more stuff, which is good. Like, I'm not saying there's nothing, I've got anything against learning. I'm just like, sometimes people forget to enjoy that their cultural history month, you know, because all you're doing is like, we're here to talk about our issues. I'm like, but part of the healing. Can we celebrate? Let's have a party. Let's go to an Afrobeats thing. You know, let's have fun. And then when you do the same thing with other cultures too, again, that's also where, because I think that's sometimes the narrative too, where other cultures don't feel comfortable because they feel like when you're coming to the event, they're saying XYZ have wronged us. This is our month to like call them out. And it's like, well, if you say that, no one's going to come to your events. But if you're like, well, anyway, this is the past, we're going to acknowledge it because we don't exist without what's happened. But now that we've acknowledged it, let's be in the present. What are we currently doing? And what are we hoping for the future? In the future, we're hoping to collaborate and do. So let's start partying together. Let's do events together. You know, like,
That's such a great idea. Yeah.
It's, and like, I think certain people are already kind of doing it.
Yes.
You know, one group I want to speak out about is Tribe Artist Society. So they are an indigenous run rap group or rap collective. And what I love is that, you know, most people, when they think of hip hop, it is a primarily Black genre. But it's actually a minority genre in that rap is a space where people just used a platform to talk about issues going on in their society. That's why a lot of people, you know, debate that, you know, rap has to be conscious because it started off as a platform to talk about like systemic issues. But if you're talking about systemic issues, every culture has something to say. And that's why there's so many. The Filipinos love hip hop. Like, I love experiencing hip hop through Filipino culture because the way they dress, the way they dance, it's, and then I've heard like Tagalog rap and like, it's so cool. And then same thing with the indigenous population where they've got so many things to rap about and talk about. So I love that like every Monday night they do a rap night and people just come in, they freestyle, they learn the pillars. So there's also the education part of it. But we start off with a smudge and acknowledging indigenous customs. So it doesn't end up becoming a, this is only for indigenous people. We're doing things an indigenous way, but it's actually open because if you're a hip hop lover, a hip hop artist, you can come here and be here regardless of your color, your creed, your religion, your whatever. But you're going to enjoy this because we all have this thing we love, but we're just showing it through our perspective, you know? And if everybody does that, everyone is being celebrated all year round. And you also get to celebrate yourself through the things you love. If you're a poet, you can go and do poetry through a different language or through a different culture. If you love theater, go and experience theater, how it's done in different countries, because different countries do it differently.
Differently.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
That is true.
So I'm just like, that's all it needs to be, I feel.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be you're for or against. Like, we can all be together and build together. And I think that, like, you know, folks from the majority group, which is like white people, can absolutely come and be a part of all that and understand. Because one of the things I really enjoy about the idea of having these months dedicated to countries and cultures and peoples is creating room for togetherness and understanding. So now as a Black person, I get to understand and hear stories from the Asian community. I get to hear and understand stories from the indigenous community, hear their history, hear their triumphs, hear their losses, hear the good and hear the bad. Like, it's so like, it really expands your mind and just gives you honestly inspiration for like, yo, we're all in this together. Like, we're all in this together for real, you know, and being able to look at life like that instead of looking at opposition everywhere, look at people that, you know, we're in this together. We might as well, like, there's more that unite us than divide us.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, ooh, thank you so much for sharing that, Kay. Like, this has been such
great questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And this has been such an incredible episode. And I just want you to, you know, do you have any upcoming project you want to tease? You want to kind of let the people know about? Do you have any like thing that you're releasing? Just put a little plug in for yourself there, and then share your social media, website, all that stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, first of all, for having me on the podcast. I think, like I keep saying, I'm a fan of these conversations because they're just so natural. You know, you meet people with big ideas, and I feel like everyone is pretty big on community, but you have these different ways that they want to build community, different ways that they are building community. So really grateful to have been able to come and share my perspective.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you for the platform. it's been a crazy year, lots of fun stuff. So I've been exploring, like I mentioned, topics of love, relationships, and, you know, your own relationship with yourself. So I've put out two EPs through a persona called Heartbreak K. The first one was called IRL, which came out last year, November 2023. And that one, it just kind of plays on the phrase IRL. So IRL, you know, most people know it as in real life. But then I also made two other songs called I Rarely Lie and I Really Love. And the whole idea is through the EP, I'm exploring these ideas and how they connect to each other. So yeah, go check that one out. And then I put out a sequel to it just a couple of weeks ago. So towards the end of April 2024, I put out IKR, which for most people is I know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But this one was actually just the titles of the tracks. So the first track is called Invincible. Second track is called Keeper. The third one is called Reflections or Mirror Man. So that just kind of continues the narrative from IRL. So I'm like, listen to both projects. I think it's a fun journey to kind of see what I've been up to in the last last year in a bit.
What's the difference between Heartbreak K and K the Chosen?
So K the Chosen, this
have you
gone fantastic breaking question.
Hearts? Like, have you been out here serving breakfasts to the people?
Not even tea. I'm serving a whole breakfast. K's B&B, you know, bed and breakfast. Just come.
Bed
and
breakfast.
Come eat.
Bed and heartbreak breakfast. Like, just here you go.
Here you go. It's the whole package.
It's the whole package.
To find out, you gotta listen to the projects.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it at that. So K the Chosen, I'll say, is kind of like the main character. And then there's all these different universes where we've got different aspects.
Universes.
The K the Chosen cinematic universe.
Yes.
So we've got, you know, you've got K the Chosen, you've got the Nomad, you've got Heartbreak K. You know, you're just gonna have to go through my whole discography and listen to it all, because it's been fun journey.
Yeah. I'd love those personas in costumes.
Like, yes.
Character costumes, just like.
So yeah, I actually did that. So cool. I did a show where I actually went through different costumes.
That's awesome.
So talking about socials, I'd say check out my Instagram. I've got a bunch of posts where I've changed costumes. I have put, I think, a highlight in where, like, I went through a whole show and went through like five or four different costume changes. So that'll be fun. If not Instagram, so same handle on all platforms, whether it's X, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, at K the Chosen. So K-T-H-E-C-H-O-S-E-N. Or you can just go to my website, kthechosen.com, and everything you need to know is there as well. We do have a couple of shows coming up. Technically not supposed to say this yet, but hopefully by the time the podcast comes out, they would have said it. So I hope the timer will figure out. So exclusive announcement. My band and I will be playing Sled Island this year. So we're playing, I believe it's June 22nd, which I think is the Saturday. And whatever the Thursday before that is, I don't remember if that's like the 19th or the 18th, somewhere there. But anyway, we're playing twice at Sled Island this year. Come through. We've got a brand new set. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Okay. Before you leave, please drop us a word of wisdom, a word of advice, something for us to take with us into the week, into our day, into our weekend, whatever. Yeah.
Into life. One piece of advice I always love giving people is never compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to your yesterday self. You know, if you are further along than you were yesterday, further along than you were 5 years ago, then that's success. Because there's no one who can ever be a better you than you.
Ah, that's such a good one. And we need reminders of that because it's easy, especially with social media, to be like, oh, I wish, I want, oh, they have that. And you are never really content. But that is such good advice. Thank you so much, Kay.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. This was like such a fun conversation.
Yes, this was so cool. This was so much fun. All right. So let's say goodbye to the listeners. For y'all, thank you for sticking with us through the entire episode. We'll see you on the next episode. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Afros in the Diaspora. I hope this episode left you feeling inspired and hopeful. To engage, feel free to like, follow, share, and subscribe to Afros in the Diaspora on all social media and podcast platforms. Remember to leave a review and a rating. If you would like to be a guest, please reach out. Send an email to hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. That is hi@afrosinthediaspora.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram @afrosinthediaspora. Remember, there is beauty in our stories and power in our voices. Together, we are stronger. Until next time.